town. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we ordinarily ask you to hold your calls until we have our regularly scheduled guest on the line. Right now, we're trying to get David Horowitz. We're going to discuss his book, How to Beat the Democrats. But while we're waiting to get him on the line, I'd like to ask your opinion on the coming war with Iraq. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think we should go to war with Iraq? Do you think that this could be a terrible, terrible mistake? The president says he doesn't need congressional approval. His lawyers have looked into this matter, and his lawyers tell him that there's no need to get a declaration of war, that he has all the authority he needs now to send American boys over to the Mideast to attack Saddam Hussein because he may have weapons of mass destruction. Of course, Dick Cheney says that, well, we're sure he has weapons of mass destruction, but we don't know that absolutely. Is Saddam Hussein going to attack the United States? Does anybody here really think he's going to attack the United States, with his weapons of mass destruction, realizing the horrible retaliation that would come from the world's only remaining superpower? Saddam Hussein would behave only because he knows that if he doesn't, he'd get a nuclear bomb dropped on Baghdad. That would be the end of him and his regime. So why are we going to war with Saddam Hussein? Well, I'd like you right now to go ahead and give me your call, your thoughts. Should we be going to war or should we not? And apparently we were not able to get through to our scheduled guests, so it's going to be you and me. It's going to be open lines. Dick Cheney has, of course, said that he thinks that there's no question at all that we have to go into this war. We would be appeasers like Chamberlain was. That the reason that we had a Second World War was because, of course, Chamberlain was not willing to take a stand, and we have to have the courage to take a stand and do what was right. The problem is Dick Cheney either doesn't know the history of the Second World War, or maybe he just doesn't want the American people to know the truth. But the truth of the matter was that there was a small group in England known as the Round Table Group. They were the outgrowth of Cecil Rhodes' secret society that were encouraging Adolf Hitler at every turn. And Lord Lothian was actually going over and encouraging Adolf Hitler. The British Foreign Service was under the control of the Round Table, and they were encouraging Adolf Hitler. And the problem that we have, is that most people don't understand the history. Chamberlain actually told Hitler that famous remark, "War in our time." He said, "Well, I had to tell the British people something." He didn't believe it for one minute. In fact, they were doing everything at the time to convince the British people, oh, we can't possibly take on Adolf Hitler. He's so much stronger than we are. And they knew it wasn't true at all. Britain had been in full production for war for some time because they planned this whole war. In fact, they'd done everything they could to help build up Adolf Hitler to create the best enemy that money could buy. Well, let's right now go to Tom, who's calling us from Florida. Hi, Tom. What are your thoughts? Should we be going to war in the Middle East or not?
I don't think we have a choice with a dictator in there as president, do you?
Well, I'm not talking what George Bush wants. I'm talking about what the American people should want. Have they forgotten Vietnam? Have they forgotten Korea? Have they forgotten that George Herbert Walker Bush intentionally left Saddam Hussein in power in 1991?
They not only don't care, they have given up. And I've been doing this for a few years. I've been talking to people, giving them documentation. And I tell you, it's like beating my head on the wall anymore. They're scared to talk to you about the Constitution or anything. They're It's unbelievable. It almost seems like it's hopeless, but it's not. God has the last word in this. But I wanted to ask you one other question before I get off the line.
Sure.
Dan. Victor Mordecai, is he legitimate?
Well, Victor Mordecai, his real name is Avi Lifkin, and Avi is a Jewish person. He was born in the United States, went over to Israel to live because he believes in Israel. I think he's really very, very sincere, and he says he is not in any way affiliated with the Mossad or with but he is actually my understanding is he's an officer in the Israeli army. But his whole thrust is to get to the American Christians, to get them to support Israel as a state. And, of course, they're playing the American Christians. On the other hand, I do support Israel. I believe that God has a place for the Jew in the final his plan for the world. I believe that certainly Israel as a country, there's tremendous corruption over there. I believe that the leaders of both political parties are controlled by the same establishment that controls us. I believe that most Jews over there don't even believe, in the traditional Jewish beliefs. But God will somehow work this thing out. I don't know how he's going to do it. But he has a plan, and all we can do right now is to do our best. And I believe that in the promise to Abraham that I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And as somebody said on an earlier program, the fact that George Bush has said we're going to establish a Palestinian state and give all this land that was promised to Abraham to the Palestinians has meant that he is bringing God's curse on this country.
He's going to go to war with the armies of the living God.
I believe he is.
Oh, my gosh. That answers it all, doesn't it?
Right, it sure does. Well, we're in real trouble.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for everything that you're doing and have done.
Well, and look, don't get discouraged, Tom. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. We are to do our best. That's all we're called to do. You know, if I didn't have the opportunity to be on the air 5 hours a day, I don't know how I would be able to live, knowing what I know. I've been at this for 40 years. We've accumulated a tremendous amount of information. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of books, and we have a moral obligation to speak out, and that's all we can do. Anyway, God bless. I think we have our guest on. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. And do we have David Horowitz on the line? Is this David?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be with you in just a moment. Unfortunately,
okay.
we got you just in time for the first break. So if you'll hang on, we'll be back in just a moment with David Horowitz discussing his book, How to Beat the Democrats. But right now, of course, we want to remind our listeners out there that Radio Liberty depends upon the people out across America who believe in what we're doing. And, of course, we sell various products. One of them, of course, is something called Phonopoly. And it's a board game played like Monopoly, but it's really 5 board games plus 2 bonus games. And we throw in a couple of books. And, of course, it will teach children how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, and how to pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, our children, so many of the young people in our schools today, are really not getting what they need to prepare them for whatever sort of a world we're going to bequeath to them. And so our request to you is if you have children or grandchildren going to government schools, you ought to get them out. Under any circumstances, they need to read phonetically, and they can do that in about 16 to 20 hours. You can begin to reprogram the brain to work as it should, and, of course, that is using phonics rather than the stupid way we're teaching them today. And then, of course, we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and with this, of course, children can actually go from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, and this is a program that is on 22 CDs. Now, the child does not get onto the computer. You have to have a computer. You have to actually print out the lessons. You have to print out the textbooks. You have to print out the lesson plans. And then, of course, the only thing you have to buy separately are the Saxon math books and the questions and answers. And those are available from Dr. Robinson at a 20% discount. But you can get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum through our ministry by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we recommend both Phonopoly and the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. You owe it to your children to give them a good education.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is David Horowitz. We've had him on as a guest before. In fact, he even took me to lunch, out to lunch down at the wharf here in Santa Cruz a few years ago. I still remember that with a great deal of pleasure, David.
Oh, I remember it too.
Well, now, tell us
a little bit
about
how leftists like to gather in beautiful places like Santa Cruz.
Yes, I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness here for sure. Well, anyway, of course, you've written a new book, How to Beat the Democrats and Other Subversive Ideas. Why don't you, of course, give us a little background as to the purpose of the book and, of course, what you're trying to accomplish with it. It's a lot of fascinating information in here, about how time and again Bill Clinton had the opportunity to remove Osama bin Laden, to get him either extradited to America or sent to Saudi Arabia, and he steadfastly refused to do anything right.
Well, I mean, that's exactly accurate, but the reason I wrote the book is because when I see Democrats and Republicans in combat, it always looks to me like Godzilla versus Bambi.
You're speaking of Godzilla being the Democrats and Bambi being the
Republicans. You got it. You know, just take 9/11. The first part of my book, How to Beat the Democrats, is about how the left undermined America's security. The first World Trade Center attack by al-Qaeda was February 26, 1993, when the terrorists blew a hole six stories deep beneath the North Tower of the World Trade Center, intending to topple it on the South Tower and to kill 250,000 people. This was the most ambitious terrorist attack ever attempted anywhere, but Bill Clinton did not visit the site, did not tend to the grieving and the wounded, and dismissed it as an act of individual criminals, even though the mastermind, whom we apprehended later, was an Iraqi intelligence agent named Ramzi Youssef. And this really characterized the Clinton non-war against al-Qaeda in an administration that was so focused on other things, as, for example, Monica Lewinsky, that it just put the safety of 300 million Americans on the back burner. And I don't say that lightly. In 1998, for example, al-Qaeda blew up two U.S. embassies in Africa, which is in itself an act of war. They killed 245 people. They wounded 5,000. Bill Clinton's mind at the time was completely focused on how he would redefine the word is so as to deceive a grand jury over the Lewinsky case. Al Gore, and I'm talking now August 1998, right after the bombing of the two embassies. Al Gore was in Hawaii. He left to go to a vacation in Hawaii with his family because he wanted to put distance between himself and the Clinton-Lewinsky mess. So what Clinton did was, without consulting the Joint Chiefs of Staff, launched a missile into the Sudan on the day Monica Lewinsky appeared herself before the grand jury to step on her publicity, I guess. It blew up a medicine factory and really angered hundreds of millions of Muslims in the process. That was the trade-off, the security of Americans, hatred of America versus Clinton protecting his amor propre and his lies in regard to the Lewinsky case. Which is why I have said that Bill Clinton is the most wretched human being who ever occupied the White House. And then he launched missiles into Afghanistan, which among other things, forged the alliance between al-Qaeda and the Taliban. We know now, the Wall Street Journal had a long article in which the reporters interviewed the Taliban intelligence agents in Pakistani intelligence and learned that the Taliban was about to expel al-Qaeda. They had been on the outs with each other until those missiles came in and they felt they were under attack, and so they forged that alliance. So in historical accuracy, you can say that Bill Clinton's legacy is 9/11. On the other hand, Republicans have been too polite to mention all this, and as a result, Sandy Berger, Clinton's national security advisor and really the chief culprit in America's non-preparation for the attacks of 9/11, because he was national security advisor, he also rejected a Sudanese offer to turn bin Laden over to the United States in 1996. Sandy Berger launched an attack on the Bush administration for delaying the preparations for America's defense. And this is just an example of how the Democrats understand politics, and that is if you strike first and put the other side on the defensive, you have a tremendous edge already. Anybody on the defensive in a political combat is losing.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. In fact, I remember Bill Richardson telling me that many years ago, Senator Richardson. He said the other thing is when you're winning the battle, the liberal will always try to change the subject, so don't let him do it. Of course, you have written some very, very good things about, you know, how to be involved philosophically in this battle and how not to let yourself be pushed into a corner and taken away from what the real issues are.
Well, I think the main piece of advice that I've given in this book, How to Beat the Democrats and Other Subversive Ideas, is that the Democrats understand that there is a romance at the center of American political life, which is the romance of the underdog. And whoever positions themselves on the side of the underdog is, again, in a position of great advantage in any political battle. So Democrats are always wrapping themselves around women, children, minorities, and the poor. Well, Republicans talk about political issues as though they were management issues about waste and inefficiency. And as a result, they seem cold-hearted, like they argue like accountants and businessmen. And whereas Democrats are very warm-hearted, and you can forgive them their stupidities because their hearts are in the right place. And, I give you an example, which I give in the book, of how to turn this around on a dime. Let's just take the argument that Democrats are champions of minorities and the poor. Every inner city in America of any significant size, whether it's New York or Philadelphia or Detroit or Chicago or Washington, D.C., is a city whose city council and whose school boards, the same school boards that control the failing public school systems in the inner city that systematically deprive poor black and minority children of an education. Every one of them is controlled by Democrats 100% and has been for 50 years. Everything that's wrong with the inner cities of America that policy can affect, Democrats are responsible for. Democrats have their boot heels, if you want to put it that way, on the necks of poor black and Hispanic children whose life opportunities they destroy every day. They're just beginning the destruction again. The school term has just started. In schools that where we know that 50% of the children will drop out and another 50% will graduate functionally illiterate, all run by the Democrats as jobs programs for adults who will vote and fund the Democratic, vote for and fund the Democratic Party.
But, David, the thing that bothers me is, of course, I think that the black in America really is getting a terrible education. These kids don't have a chance to get a good education, you know, if they're living in the inner city, and yet the blacks consistently vote for the Democrats
because the Democrats are good at politics, and they persuade the blacks that Republicans are racists. They ran a, you know, a 10 million plus TV and radio campaign in the last presidential election, accusing George Bush of lynching a lynch victim a second time. You know, that's one of the main reasons that the blacks will vote for the Republicans. When the Democratic Party is the racist party, it's the party of racial preferences, it's a party that turns its back on poor black and Hispanic kids in the inner city, and it gets away with it because Republicans are too polite to mention this. Anyway, this is my book, How to Beat the Democrats. If I could give a toll-free number where, if you're listening to this show, you can get the book half off. It's 888-773-6782. That's 888-773-6782. Or you can go to my website at frontpagemagazine.com, and there's an ad on the website. And you can get it for half off by clicking that ad.
All right. One of the things you mentioned was that Ramzi Yousef was a Iraqi intelligence officer. Where does that come from? Where is the documentation?
He captured him in the Philippines in 1995, where he was plotting to use airliners as bombs and crash them into each other.
Well, that was Operation Bajinka, yes, you're absolutely
right. That's right, and to also to crash one into the CIA headquarters. You talk about these Islamic radicals as though they're just religious fanatics. They are leftists. They have all the leftist targets, the CIA and the military-industrial complex. The World Trade Center is the symbol of Wall Street. The Pentagon was the other target, so...
All right, we're going to have to just take off for a moment here. Will you be able to stay with us into the next half hour?
I can stay. I can only stay another 10. You know, another.
All right, another 10 minutes. Well, we're going to have to take a 3-minute break, and then you, when you have to go, you just let us know, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products as well. We make no medical claims for them, but I will tell you that many of the people write to us and tell us really of the amazing things that have happened and how useful it's been in controlling rashes or heartburn or all sorts of things. And all we can do is suggest if you'd like to try the products, why, we'll be glad to send you the manufacturer's material. And, of course, we'll send you a pamphlet on it, or if you'd like to get an introductory packet, there is a soap, there is a moisturizing soap, there is a lotion, there is a neutralizer and a gel, and of course it comes at a special reduced price. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And the product are Miracle 2 soap products. I never thought as an orthopedic surgeon I'd be sometime selling soap, but it helps to keep Radio Liberty on the air, and we believe it's a good product. And then, of course, we want to mention some of our four tape sets. An understanding of the Office of Homeland Security is very important. This new program that's going to be brought in, and we have a four tape set on that. We have various reports, phase one and phase two and three reports that came out from the Commission on the Security in the 21st Century. All of these and many other items are available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free catalog or a free newsletter, just give us a call, but call right now. Let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited. And they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is David Horwitz, and David came from a communist family. He described himself as a red diaper baby. He's written a book called Radical Son, talking about his upbringing in a communist family, and of course he was the publisher of Ramparts magazine during the Vietnam era, and I used to hear him on the radio arguing, you know, the pro-communist or pro-liberal line on Vietnam, and thinking, who is this crazy guy? And now, of course, we find David Horwitz now as a champion of the free enterprise system and a champion of America. This must have been quite a transition for you, wasn't it, David? A lot of hearts searching and trying to find truth?
Well, I've actually written in detail the story of this odyssey in Radical Son. It was traumatic, but it's now many years ago. I'm, you know, soon in the, I guess, 2004, I will celebrate the 20th anniversary of voting for Ronald Reagan, my first Republican ballot. So it's getting to be somewhat behind me in that sense.
Well, it certainly is. Now, what is your position on the war with Iraq? Obviously, we're going to war with Iraq. Do you think we should be going over to war with Iraq, or do you have any concerns about that?
My only concern about the war with Iraq is that we do it sooner rather than later. We are at war with Iraq. It's a tongue twister. And have been for more than a decade. Saddam Hussein violated every condition that he agreed to at the end of the Gulf War. He is hates us. He wants, you know, has lived for revenge. I believe Saddam Hussein was behind both World Trade Center attacks. In any case, it's clear that he supports the suicide bombers in the Middle East, that he said will support anybody who opposes the United States, and that he is building weapons of mass destruction, anthrax, chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons. Every day that passes where he gets closer to whatever plans he has is a day of increasing danger for American men, women, and children.
No, but of course,
our enemy doesn't respect civilians. It doesn't respect women, you know, mothers, children. After all, Saddam Hussein is helping to finance Arafat's terrorists who will blow up, mothers with baby carriages.
Well, of course, but Saddam Hussein is a terribly wicked man, but we left him in power when we could have taken him out back in 1991.
That was a big mistake of Bush 1 and James Baker and Brent Scowcroft, all of whom are the ones who are arguing caution, and that should tell you something. I mean, you know, once is enough to be burned by people who do not understand that you have to take down an enemy. Well, you can't just strike at a king. You can't wound a king. You have to kill him.
Well, now, are you worried that this war may spread to other countries? Because certainly Iran has...
The question is not... War is never something that you embrace for its own sake. The question is it more dangerous not to go to war? And I believe that it is. And if we have to take down the Iranian terrorist regime, that's fine. Of course, it's a much bigger country and a much more ultimately dangerous one. Iraq is hardly a country. It was created by the British Empire as really three separate nationalities. And Saddam Hussein does not enjoy any great support among his own people. So,
well, of course, he rules certainly by fear and certainly killing.
I'd like to see us take down the Saudi regime, or at least, civilize them?
I think
these are people, we call them friends or whatever. You know, but they've apparently given $200 million to Osama bin Laden.
Isn't that the most amazing thing? Of course, I've read the book Forbidden Truth by the French authors who point this out a long time ago. But the American people, I think one of them was amazed to hear that our good friends the Saudis have been financing the very people.
And they're nasty, the Saudis. I mean, you listen to the things the Saudi ambassador has said, or the propaganda the Saudi regime has put out. These are Nazis, and then they're no different from Arafat or Saddam Hussein. They're just smarter businessmen, I guess that's the way you would put it. And they're very dangerous because they're funding radical Islam in the United States.
And I think people have forgotten that during the Second World War, while many of these Islamic regimes actually sided with the Nazis, but that's
right. All the generals in the first war against Israel, we're Rommel's generals.
Right.
They're Nazis both in allegiance, but also in the spirit and nature of their regimes.
All right. Well, we'll take a call here, and then
I'll take a couple
go.
Of calls. And,
okay, fine. Let's go to Steve calling from Wisconsin. Steve, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment, and then I'll just hang up and listen to Mr. Horowitz's response. And that's what you were talking earlier about the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans see themselves as stallions, but I see them more as geldings. And I see the Democrats more as the stallions. They are the guerrilla fighters. They're the ones who have an agenda. They have goals, and come hell or high water, they're going to meet them. The Republicans treat their agenda not much differently than as if they were at the country club having a golf game.
All right, let's get David to respond to that. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
And
I think we can get all kinds of different images for the two parties. But the Democrats are a party of the left. They're out to get power to change the world. They tend to blame America first. They tend to be hostile to the military. They have shown that they cannot be trusted with national security. They win in political combats because they always position themselves on the sides of the underdog, and they're so filled with their own self-righteousness and purity of intention, which is to redeem mankind, that they're willing to use any method, however vicious and dirty, in pursuit of their goals. For them, the ends do justify the means.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Jeannie calling in. Is this Jeannie from Silver Beach?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I had a question, but I think David answered. I wanted to know his view on the upcoming war with Iraq, because that tells you where he's coming from. So now that I understand what his political views are, as you know, Dr. Stan, I feel the Democrats and the Republicans come from the same camp, the socialist camp. And so the question I have for him is, David, what do you think of the credibility of President Bush currently in office, and also the Vice President, Dick Cheney? And that's how you pronounce it, Cheney, not Cheney.
All right, fine. Do you want to take the question on the air?
I will take it on the air.
All right, thanks so much.
I'm amazed at this lady's views. I just pointed out that when Al-Qaeda blew up two U.S. embassies, which is one of many, many, you can't call it a warning shot since they killed and wounded so many people, one of many attacks that the Democrats blew off because they were so Bill Clinton was so concerned about playing sex games with a 22-year-old intern in the White House. The rest of the Democratic Party was so obsessed with keeping Clinton in the White House that they ignored the threat, which many of them knew because you had these intelligence committees. They get the threat assessments. That Al Gore was taking a vacation, or took a vacation after the bombing in Hawaii in order to get away from Washington. These are the Democrats. If you think there's no difference between those Democrats and Dick Cheney and George Bush, who have been very, very serious about their responsibilities for 300 million Americans in that White House, who from day one started to put in place a plan, a comprehensive plan to defeat Al-Qaeda, something the Clinton administration didn't do after 8 years of Al-Qaeda attacks. If you can't see a difference between those two,
There's no point in talking to you. It's just a waste of breath.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, David. It's always interesting. And we look forward to seeing you at some of those Republican meetings.
Hey, Stanley, maybe we'll sit on the wharf again sometime.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. And we've got Roger calling from Allentown. Roger, do you have a question or comment? Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, boy, do I, and it's a shame Dave's not there because I wanted to ask him as what I regard as the inadequacy of the explanation that the Republican establishmentarians are somehow this vast repository of ineptitude and maybe even malfeasance, but by all means no design there, as though the Republicans could be that stupid that they just don't know how to do politics.
Well, I think that I have a lot of respect for David, but I disagree with him. I think we have bipartisan treason. I mean, I think that we only have to look at Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton did exactly what he was supposed to do. He made $10 million last year in speaking engagement. He received $10 million for a book. Have you read his book? A book has never been written. Hillary only got $8 million for hers. She got as much as the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, got for his book, which sold, I'm sure, hundreds and hundreds, if not millions of copies. I wonder how many copies that Bill Clinton's book are going to sell. These are simply payoffs for services rendered. There is a script behind what's going on today, and Bill Clinton played his part, just as George W. Bush is playing his part. George Bush professes to be a Christian. He comes from skull and bones. How could anybody who comes from a satanic organization and refuses to renounce that, and when asked about his membership in skull and bones, he says, oh, is that still around? I didn't even know if it was. And he knows it's around. There have been 6 Bushes who've been members of Skull and Bones, or 9 Tafts. Incidentally, if anybody would like to get the complete membership list of Skull and Bones, we have a syllabus. Go back to 1833, when this satanic organization was actually formed, and you even quote some of the poems from people at Yale University in 1870 talking about the satanic organization, which our president is currently a member of. You may not like to hear that, but this is the reality of where we are today. But should you be surprised? After all, America has turned its back on God. Wouldn't you expect that God would turn his back on America and give us a president like we have today? And all you need to do is see what happened to ancient Israel as they turned their back on God and they ended up getting Ahab and Jezebel. Well, we had that with Clinton. We may even have something far more sinister today because they look good, but in the final analysis, why see what they're doing? They're taking us into a world war. This is not a limited war, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving into World War III, and where is the outcry from the American people? Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Roger, stay on the line. We'll be back, but right now we have to tell our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and frankly, we need your help. We're going to say what we believe, whether it's popular or not, but I remember Vietnam. I remember I very foolishly supported it without ever realizing, at least for a time, we weren't even trying to win the war. We were simply sending our boys over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die. Admiral Stockdale flew planes over the Gulf of Tonkin on the day of the Gulf of Tonkin incident. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. We sent those boys there, 58,000 of them, to die or to rot in communist prison camps or be sent off to Moscow for experimentation. We did that maliciously and intentionally. Well, we are going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And you can always turn off the radio, but we hope that if you like it, if you believe in what we're doing, if you're concerned about America, our future, your family, our freedom, we hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but you'll also be helping us finance the 17 new stations we've taken on so that we'll be up to almost 50 stations that will hear some of our programs every week. But quite frankly, we need your help to do what we do. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARD. Join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Get our products. Tell others about our programs. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com where they can get our programs 5 hours a day, and our weekend programs. help us get the truth out across America, because if we don't inform people now, when will we do it? And if you don't aren't involved, who will be? So, ladies and gentlemen, again, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we're entering World War III.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course it's going to be open lines for the time that we have left. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I'd like to know what you think about the coming war with Iraq, which I believe will be expanded into a war with Saudi Arabia and with 1.2 billion Muslims, not only throughout the world, but right here in America, where we have sleeper cells. And they have been, of course, told not to do anything until the word is given. But I think that very soon the world will be given. And I base this upon a book written by Yosef Badansky called Attack America and the West. It was written in 1993. An interesting study in thought control is try to get a copy of that anyplace. I haven't been able to lay my hands on a copy here. I was able to get a copy out of England, I think for $25 for a paperback. Most I ever paid for a little tiny paperback. But basically, he tells about the sleeper cells that were supposed to have been mobilized during the first Gulf War, and Iran and, of course, Saudi Arabia, which I believe are under the control of this spiritual hierarchy that rules the world, would not go along with poor Saddam, and they left him out there, hung him out to dry, and, of course, he was humiliated and defeated. But, of course, you don't have to worry, because the skull and bones president at that time left him in power. We don't try to win wars anymore. They're not fought as we traditionally do to defeat the enemy. They're just fought to, of course, control people at home and change the world. That's what wars are all about. That was the First World War, was to change the world. The Second World War was to change the world and establish the United Nations. And the Third World War is to bring about the New World Order and the New World Religion. Roger, do you have anything else you want to say? And again, our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you agree or disagree, I'll give you a chance to say what you want to say. This is I disagreed with David Horowitz, but I wanted you to hear what he had to say, because you know how I feel. At least I hope you do by now. Roger, what else did you want to say?
Yeah, lastly, for all your listeners, that is, and I want to give just a couple pointers here, that is the vital necessity of calling their local AM/FMs to get them to carry your show. And your Saturday show's on 1 p.m. Eastern. And this is the pointer here. I call the a lot of the local AM/FMs are Moody Broadcasting affiliates. And I didn't realize, because I asked the one guy, because I'm one of these people that calls, you know, if you step off the Moody reservation, do you get any privacy? No. I says, well, that's great, because, you know, Dr. Stanley Monteith has this excellent show on Saturday, et cetera. Now, many of these stations are already on IRN Network, and if they're not, it's no problem. Just flip a few buttons and they get on there. But and I point out to them that, you know, there's a real lack of Christian political analysis. And Saturdays are particularly dead for content on a lot of these stations. God bless you all.
All right. Well, thank you. And I hope people will. We do a program 10 o'clock every Saturday. And, of course, it is up on satellite on IRN. And any station can pull that down off of. And if anybody would be interested, they can have it free of charge. And there are all sorts of spots for 7 minutes or 8 minutes if they want to push their commercials. We want to get the facts out. We want to get the truth out across America, which is why we're doing what we're doing. Well, right now we have Dan. Is that Dan from Michigan?
Hello?
Dan, is that Dan?
Yeah.
And where are you calling from, Michigan?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, kind of a comment, I guess, or maybe a question. It just seems like the Republicans, a comment is, in general purpose, is you talk to the average guy in the street. And they say, well, the Democrats are for the working people and the Republicans are for the rich. All right, I don't believe that, but if they tag you with that label, you should make all appearances or efforts to stay away from doing signs that show you're that way. And basically, the only thing Bush got through was his tax cut. And I don't mind cutting taxes, but it did appear to be loaded a little bit heavy for the rich, if you know what I mean. And they should stay away from that stuff, because the Democrats can make a ton of mileage on it.
All right, fine. We have to understand, really. Have you ever read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time?
No, I have not.
Well, it's well worthwhile getting. On pages 1247, 1248, he lays the whole thing out. He said, the whole purpose is how we're going to create a situation where we have two parties that are essentially the same. And that way, of course, they can throw the rascals out every 4 years, but nothing will change as far as the foreign and domestic policy. That's what it's really all about. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats at the very, very top. Now, there are a lot of wonderful Republicans and a lot of rotten Democrats, but as far as the leadership of both political parties, why, they're exactly the same. Here in California, the Republican Party has been taken over by the Liberals. They're running a Republican gubernatorial candidate who is pro-gay. How could that be? And, of course, they selected him because they didn't want us to have a choice between a real conservative and the socialist governor we have now. And so they simply are running a Republican candidate who is a weak candidate, who actually is pro-gay, has said he'll support pro-gay celebrations and right here in California. And this happens all across the country. The whole idea is get people to the polls every 4 years and make them think they're going to have a difference. And if you're voting either for the traditional Republicans or Democrats, things will continue. What we need, of course, is to support people who believe in America and believe in the Constitution, not in the power structure of this nation. And we saw this happen, when Jesse Ventura got elected. Now, Jesse Ventura is not my ideal candidate. He's certainly not a conservative. But he was able to get elected as governor, up there in Minnesota, I think it was. And he did that simply by splitting the vote, and we could do the same thing. We have good candidates who run. We just need people who have the courage to get out of the box and realize that the two-party system has been created so that the elite can rule America. Does that answer your question?
Yes, indeed, it does. I agree. Wasn't George Bush out there campaigning recently for or fundraising or something in California for governor?
Well, he was out there campaigning for Bill Simon. He raised a couple of million dollars, but Bill Simon, of course, was run specifically so that that Governor Davis would get reelected. That's the way the game is played.
My question is, what's a fine Christian president doing campaigning for a guy that's pro-gay?
What makes you think that George Bush is a fine Christian president? What in his actions makes you think that? Senator, certainly George Bush has appointed many gay people, openly gay people, to key positions, ambassadors and elsewhere, and key positions in his administration. Why would any Christian do something like that?
I was being a little sarcastic.
All right, fine.
Okay. I don't think he's Christian, but a lot of people do. He's a Christian man, and you hear that all the time.
Well,
and yet, everything he does indicates otherwise.
Well, the thing is, we've got to get people to think, Dan. You never believe what a person says. You look and see what they do with their life, how honest they are, or where they stand on the really important moral issues. They're using abortion to rally the Christian conservatives behind George Bush, and occasionally he does something right. But I don't believe his heart's in it. His wife is pro-death, as was his mother, and it's about time people begin to understand that they are using the Christians of this country for their own destruction.
Dr. Stan, I watched the presidential debate, and all my Christian friends said, you got to vote for Bush because he'll appoint pro-life judges. Yet at the debate, when asked that question, he didn't say to appoint pro-life judges. He said it was, how do I put it, a matter of indifference? It wasn't going to be a consideration?
Right, and let me tell you that the man he's considering as the next Supreme Court justice to replace Rehnquist is a radical leftist. Now, why would he even have that man on the list, the short list? Well, I think that tells you an awful lot about where he's really coming from.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, all my friends say he's a Christian, but everything he does to me says,
Well, but Dan, then your job is to get them listening to our program, and they'll start out, they'll say, this guy's crazy, I don't like him, but maybe after a few weeks they're going to say, you know, maybe he's not crazy. And, of course, that would be the most frightening thing in the world I'll ever. And that's how we're going to reach people. Get them to listen. So get them listening on the Internet. Get them listening to our shortwave programs. Help us get the word out. That's your assignment, okay?
I've downloaded about probably 100 of your programs off from the Internet onto cassette tape.
Oh, God bless you.
I pass them out to people.
And don't give them away. Lend them. And tell them, look, I want you to listen to this. Tell me what you think about it. I'll get it back in a couple of weeks. That way they have an obligation to listen to it. And maybe something that is said will click with them. That's all we can hope for. And remember, in the final analysis, it's up to the Lord.
I've got a few people and actually listen to them.
Okay.
So, but it's so refreshing because nobody hears this stuff.
Well, that's why we do what we do 5 hours every day. God bless you. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For listening. And just keep talking. And remember, your job is to sow the seed. But whether that seed takes place is the Lord's decision.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Okay. Well, that was Dan calling from Michigan. I think that's his second call. But we've got a lot of good people out there listening to our programs. And remember the Internet site. It's radioliberty.com. And there's all sorts of programs archived there. We do 2 hours a day on shortwave, 3 hours a day on satellite, 5 hours a day on radio. And you, of course, you can help us 5 hours a day on the Internet. You can help us to get the message out. But it's really up to you. I can only do so many programs, and we can only afford so much. You can join the Radio Liberty family, but more than that, you can tell others about what's going on. And again, I remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today. Well, this is the time when we have to remind you that we are involved in a spiritual battle being waged on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and we hope that you will pray for America, that you'll pray for God's mercy on this country and for the protection of those young men who are going to be sent over to the Middle East to engage in this battle. Pray that as few people will be killed as possible and as few civilians, because remember 10% of the Iraqi population is Christian, and even the Muslims, pray for them as well. Pray for our friend Dr. Kaufman and for Joan Vian and Joan Paris, who are down in Johannesburg, South Africa today at this meeting of the Rio Plus 10, where they're going to introduce the new Ten Commandments. It's called the Earth Charter, and going to be placed in the Ark of Hope instead of the Ark of the Covenant. And everything is a mirror image of God's plan, because this is Lucifer's plan for the world government. That's what it's all about. And Christians ought to be able to see this, and they would if they weren't spiritually blinded, if they really understood God's plan for mankind. And then we ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Well, how cute can you be? Anyway, I'm not terribly sorry, but where do you live? Well, and the basis are every place, and there's the, you know, what's the basis? I don't know why they keep setting them up. I mean, if you could, give us a one-hour video of the Brotherhood of Darkness, I think it's all read. There's a Holy Writing book, and there's never written a Holy Writing book. But they, what they're doing now is that's a very high book to read. So I'll tell you what, so there is a people, and you know, if you right, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Rob has been doing that. He's been a cell phone number for him. He'll give you a free book for your moral philosophy. And he'll put that here on your application, I think. And I'm going to try to get it for you. And, you know, if you can get that, and then you can go through the book, if you could get a mason to sit down and read that book review, and then, of course, you know, the book of Morals and Dogs, and see it there. And they openly brag about how they intentionally mislead them. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't belong to an organization where they sort of brag about how they deceive the members. Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness? It's worthwhile getting because we actually quote extensively from the Mormons and Dogma there. And it's not that expensive. I think it's a pretty good book. It's even, because I wrote it, so I'm a little prejudiced. Okay. Oh, well, God bless. Look, I know people are having lots of problems. And, you know, anyway, I hope that you can find something else to do. Well, now what's your name? Okay, Paul, well, God bless you. Well, I think we all have a hard time living up to what we should be doing. I'm afraid I just can't pull up here. I don't see it. Yeah, would you please? I'll try to get it for you. Well, actually, you can't call on this number. You'd have to call 831-475-66. 5-1, and ordinarily, if I run by my computer, I can always pull the thing up. Wait just 1 minute, I'll just look a little bit further here. Here he is, 800-422-3888. Yeah, 800-422-3888. Okay, God bless you, Paul, and I hope you get a job or you get some security, because you're going to need it in times like these. I love it. Thank you.